I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey folks, welcome into The Memo, a podcast brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Thanks for joining us. I'm Brad Locke, Derek Russell over there.
You can't prove that.
The flannel shirt.
You can't prove it.
Looks nice.
You don't know that.
Go cut down some trees later.
I'm actually going to bring you some paper towels. Okay. Actually, Brawny's a woman now. Have you seen that?
Did not.
You heard about that?
I did not see that one. Yeah.
Heard about this?
Yeah. Today's National Women's Day or something, right?
And that is not the name of the day.
I don't
know.
I just saw something.
That's every day, right?
Yeah.
Well, at my house it is.
It's actually International Women's
International.
Day.
International. All right. Excuse me,
make
ladies.
Make sure you get that right.
Okay. Sorry about that.
What have you done to our desk here?
That's Chris Kiefer over there. That's from your muffin.
My muffin was in my hand.
Mine was
right
over here. Mine's been done.
I ate some muffins.
I ate mine 5 minutes ago. Scott Burden.
Some pre-show muffins.
Brought some muffins.
Here in the green room.
They're our new old.
He's back.
New copy desk
old
guy.
Everything new is old again.
Most of you probably don't know Scott, but he's one of the behind-the-scenes people on the copy desk.
It's mm-hmm.
very
most
talented.
Most of you probably don't know anybody on the copy desk because they're behind-the-scenes.
True.
Yeah.
Probably so. But maybe they like know them on a personal level outside of the job.
Maybe.
Maybe.
What if they don't?
Well, okay.
Everything you just said was moot.
Now they know Scott.
Okay.
We should have Scott on the podcast sometime.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, anytime you want to go. We'll bring him on.
Be the new co-host with you.
That's fine. He's got more important things to do.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to be back. I'm still trying to get used to this new schedule. We're just every Wednesday and Friday, so every Monday I'm like, oh yeah,
I'm already used to it. It's good. I like it. It
seems like forever between the Friday and Wednesday podcast, though. At least for me. I'm sure it's that way for the listeners as well. Can't wait to
It's not long enough for them.
Hear us again. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Monday, you had a good story in Monday's paper.
Segway right
Chris
there.
Kiefer.
I'm learning. I've been learning.
I wouldn't call it good. He's been reading up every book there is on segwaying.
I've just been watching you guys.
There's that many books?
There's got to be. Amazon.com.
And he's looking for books about good segways.
I want to be just like y'all when I grow up.
Segway.
All you're going to find is
books about the motorized
vehicle.
Oh no! How to Segway: A Cynic's Guide. It's an ebook.
An ebook.
Yeah. Oh wait, no. It actually is a Segway.
Is it for broadcasters only?
Yeah.
No.
No, okay. That's actually a real
Segway. It's spelled differently, but whatever. Segway. We're talking about spelled SEGUE.
Nobody's tapped into that yet, Chris. I think you got a book deal right there.
How to Segway properly.
Yeah.
You can give many examples. Just from us.
Yeah, right. Just from what I witness all the time.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
The dummies book.
The segueing that goes on in here.
Are the dummies books still a thing?
I don't know.
I don't see them as frequently as
I don't either.
I once did.
Maybe because we've all gotten smarter with these things.
We all know how to operate
computers now.
We're not the target audience anymore.
No.
Because we've gotten smarter. So. We used to be the target audience.
Nope, still a thing. Football for dummies. Auto repair for dummies.
Okay.
A little bit of everything for dummies. Well, that one's kind of vague.
So tell us about your Monday story.
Coding for kids.
Oh, yeah, the Monday story.
Yes, well.
Did a little different twist on the local folks feature we do every week.
Well, I don't know that it was different. I interviewed a local folk.
But they were anonymous.
They were an anonymous source, which could be fake news. You never know.
We are purveyors of fake news here, of course, because we're in the media.
Don't put me under that umbrella.
We're the enemy.
I don't want nothing to do with that. Yes, an individual from Tupelo High School who wishes to remain nameless. Has been running a Twitter account for the past few months that has gone viral at THS. You are encouraged to DM, direct message for the layman, the account.
Twitter for Dummies. Yeah, is that a book?
I'm sure that's a book. I'm the poster child right here.
What?
Oh, I had an idea.
You've got mail.
Yeah. Oh, I've been fired. You're encouraged to DM the account with compliments for other people.
Right.
So other students or teachers or people at Tupelo High. Yeah. And they, and then the person that's the account holder then tweets the message anonymously, so you don't know who it came from.
Right. So they just tweet out, like, Joe Smith has great hair.
Yeah, or Brad Locke's an idiot, stuff like that.
No, positive, and, Derek. Positive.
Well, I'm positive about it.
That's actually the point I was about to make is, I mean, that was kind of the reason for this is there's so much negativity, I guess.
Yeah, that's online. What the person said is they said that, you know, getting on social media, especially, I can't imagine having social media in high school. I would have been, oh God, it would have been
glad,
terrible.
I'm glad it wasn't around for me.
It would have been the worst thing ever. Can you imagine Chris Kiefer on social media in high school?
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have been a terrible person.
I was even worse back then,
oh,
too.
Oh, no. Awful. Mm. Chris Kiefer's the nicest person in the world. You can't even, but it's what states.
Fake news.
You can't even make fun of him.
You can't.
Because it just doesn't stick.
It doesn't.
It's not like throwing bologna at you. It
no.
Just, or, you know, you
I'm an easy target.
Yeah, I'm fat, so it's easy to throw bologna at me. I'll just eat it. How did we get here? Oh,
positive.
Yes. Positivity, because when you go on social media, especially I can imagine in high school, everything's negative. I don't want to go to school today. This teacher ticked me off.
You got cyberbullying is a big problem at
John Black
kids that age.
Made me mad. John Black.
John Black. We're talking about Days of Our Lives.
I was about to say, why did I go into Days of Our Lives?
John Black.
Carlena.
But a lot of put downs and insults anonymously made online. But,
oh, cyberbullying is huge.
Yeah.
Huge. No pun intended. So, yeah, it's a bad thing. So this person has done a huge leap in the other direction. Yeah.
And then this is not just
it's anonymous, right? I mean, nobody knows.
Which is kind of the point.
Or almost nobody knows who the student is.
I mean, I think two people know. Wow. So
plus you.
Okay, three. No, it was done very. We did one of the. I started to suggest.
You met in the parking lot. Where were the parking garage? What parking? The hospital, I guess.
Yeah,
there's
the only parking garage we have here. I did start to suggest just to do this because I've always wanted to do this, but you've gotten a lot more into video here in the past year or so. You know where I'm going with this? So wanted to do the unsolved mysteries and garble the voice and have them silhouetted talking. Just for the fun of it, but I chose not to go that path.
Well, what I wanted to do with this Twitter account was
or like
I didn't kill anybody.
Dude, This American Life does all the time and hire an actor just to do all
that's John Smith. At least that's what we're calling him. Next time
actor,
on This American Life.
Actor portrayal.
Yeah.
Make a song, get a Sarah Bareilles to write a song.
Saw
a
great tweet I should have sent you the other day that this is what podcasting has turned into, and it was a murder, one of those true crime podcasts, and it was
Serial
like
style,
yeah, and it was like, and then after the cannibal cut the flesh off the victim, he ate the flesh. And speaking of eating things, Blue Apron
segue.
It's like, wait a minute,
this is a parody or this is a real thing?
It was somebody making fun of the way marketing has become in podcasts, because that's what happens. You're 30 minutes into a story,
right?
And then it's like, and speaking of negativity. Like, I've been listening to, have you heard about Missing Richard Simmons?
Mm-mm.
It's the new serial.
He's literally like out of this completely.
He's gone. Yeah. Richard Simmons over the past 3 years has just gone.
In fact, I read something recently about like somebody thinks like his housekeeper or whoever is like keeping people away from him.
Yeah.
He's not doing
thinks
well.
The housekeeper's like it's abusing crazy. Him and keeping him it's locked crazy. In his house. But anyway, this documentary filmmaker used to take Richard's class, and he is now started making this podcast about trying to uncover what's going on with Richard through interviews and everything. And yeah, I was listening, there's a new episode today and I hadn't started it yet, but I was listening to last week's episode and it was brought to you by, I forget the name of the company. It was like HelloFresh. It's fresh vegetables coming to your house. And yeah, it was he going on this long diatribe about Richard's diet. And speaking of fresh vegetables, I was like, oh.
Richard Simmons would probably eat this if his housekeeper would let him.
Richard Simmons, pride of Koryezu High School. Brother Martin High School, which is where I went.
Oh, that's right. He's from New Orleans.
His brother still lives in New Orleans.
I'm not sure.
Lenny.
But anyway, we went to the same high school, Simmons. Basically, except it merged before I went there.
So. Well, there you go. But it was like, crazy. Type Richard Simmons to receive $30 off your first order. I was like, oh, God. Oh, man. Doesn't sound good. But anyway, yes, thank you. It was a fun story. It's not often we get to do fun stories. Usually they're you know, they do have a negative connotation a lot of the time.
Sure.
The stories we have to do, right? So, yeah. Yeah, it was nice to tell a good one.
And you can find them on this Twitter account is @WaveComplimentTwo, the number two.
Yes.
Which suggests this is not the first such Twitter account for the school. I know it's not that other schools around the country have been doing this.
That was the cool thing. I asked the person, I was like, have you seen this done before? And they were like, no. Hmm. And I Googled and it was like 30 popped up. And I just typed in like high school compliment Twitter. And yeah, like, I mean, the first like 30 hits were all. It was like high schools in L.A. and North Carolina and all these places that have.
And really this cool. person just came up with it?
Yeah, I just wanted to do something.
On their own?
Yeah, just wanted to do something for Tupelo. And, I mean, I think that's a lot of maturity for a high school student.
Way more than I had back then.
Yeah.
Or now.
Well, fair point.
Hmm.
So what do we have on the show today?
Well, Caleb Bedillion and William Moore will be joining us.
Talk about the municipal elections. Qualifying just ended on Friday.
I wasn't going to tease it. I was just going to say they were going to come on and let people find out for themselves.
Suspense.
Brilliant. Also, Emma Crawford Kent.
She's going to talk about that Milam Girls Leadership Academy.
Yes, they went to Jackson.
She went down there with them last week.
Also, the Challenger. And then we'll be joined by somebody else, Brad.
Dennis Sid. You're going to talk about craft beer.
Ooh, okay.
So this is going to be a really long podcast. A bunch of middle-aged dudes. Well, not you. You're not middle-aged.
What?
Talking about beer.
He's not middle-aged.
Yeah, I guess
same
not.
Age as Derek. Yeah, I was like, how is Derek not middle-aged?
A little older.
And I am.
He's 2 years older than me.
Okay.
Two years.
So me and Dennis.
2 years are like the threshold of.
So yeah. Dennis and I are the middle-aged.
Somewhere in there, you went over the hill.
Right.
32 is the new 40.
Yeah, boy.
So you turned 41 in December?
Yes, I am 41. That is correct.
Well, enjoy your last months on Earth.
What?
All right.
On that note.
Speaking of positivity, let's get the show started.
Okay, let's talk local elections. They're coming up fast, and here to fill us in on things, Caleb Bedillion and William Moore. Caleb, our local government reporter. William, our crime reporter /
small government.
Small government, because there's a lot of small government, and Caleb, you know, has enough to do in Tupelo and Lee County. I know. Let's start with the mayor's race here in Tupelo. Jason Shelton, of course, the incumbent, and he originally had, I guess, three challengers, two other Democrats and a Republican. The field has thinned a little bit, hasn't it?
The field is shrinking. And for the listeners that have not been checking thejournal.com, there are some breaking news. The Republican mayoral candidate has dropped out of the race.
Like 4 days, 5 days after he entered the race.
That's right. Could be worse. Robbie Gutierrez qualified for city council on Friday and then dropped out on Monday.
Well, it happens.
It does. It happens. Stephen Parker.
Stephen Parker. Stephen J. Parker was the Republican candidate. He qualified last week, Wednesday or Thursday. I can't remember which.
Right.
Was the lone Republican candidate. He's dropped out in a statement to me. He cited unforeseen medical issues in his family and has thrown his support behind Mayor Jason Shelton, encourages all of his supporters to go vote for Shelton.
And then we had another candidate recently withdraw. There will be no Mayor Bam, I'm afraid.
That's right. Bridget Shelley, who was one of the Democratic challengers trying to take out Jason Shelton in the primary, has also withdrawn for personal reasons. Says she's, you know, trying to finish a master's degree, has, you know, work and church obligations. Now is just not the right time for her to seek higher office. This means that Jason Shelton faces only one opponent in the Democratic primary, Candace Knowles.
And by the way, Bridget Shelley's nickname is Bam, okay, just for those who don't know. So, yes, it's Candace Knowles and Jason Shelton, the winner of that, will run unopposed in the
general
election.
That's right. Whoever makes it out of the primary will have no opponent and will be the presumptive mayor for the next 4 years in Tupelo.
There you go. You know, it's hard for me to try to, you know, gauge Candace Knowles' chances, but I have a pretty good, you know, you got a mayor like Jason Shelton, the incumbent, who's gotten some, you know, overall pretty positive reviews. Of course, he had the whole Ronnie Shumpert situation arise last year, and that's certainly turned some people against him. As Candace talked much about her platform, which she's going to run on.
Candace hasn't been too keen to talk to me, I'll be honest. I've gotten her on the phone a couple of times, and usually she says she's busy and offers me another time I can call her, and then, to be honest, doesn't usually answer the phone when I call her. She does have a Facebook page, Vote Candace Knowles for Mayor. She has some stuff up there about supporting multicultural inclusivity, education. She doesn't explicitly mention the Ronnie Shumpert controversy, but, I mean, it is a fact that she was involved in some of the protest activities last summer. I saw her at many of the Coalition of Concerned Pastor and Leaders events. So, I mean, let me be clear. I don't want to put words in her mouth. She hasn't said this. She hasn't said much to me. But I do personally believe that's kind of what some of the discontent that was seen in some quarters of the community over that shooting incident is probably driving her candidacy, even though, again, to be fair, she's not foregrounding that in the election material she has released. The question will be, in terms of gauging her chances, if she can put together a message that gets people who are not already predisposed to dislike Jason Shelton on her side. Can she convince people not just to vote against Jason Shelton, but to vote for her? And then, of course, the other issue that will kind of play here is how many Republicans go participate in the Democratic primary.
Right.
I mean, we've got a couple races. Ward 2, for example, has a contested Republican primary between incumbent Lynn Bryan and a challenger, Philip Thomason. And there is no Democratic candidate.
Right.
So the winner of the Republican primary in Ward 2 gets the seat. So you probably have a lot of Ward 2 people that will go vote in the Republican primary, which means they won't be able to participate in the Democratic primary.
Right.
I had Ward 5 candidate Buddy Palmer mentioned the same thing this morning. He's a Republican candidate, and he said, you know, he feels in the primary a lot of folks will, you know, jump ship and go vote in the Democratic primary just to be voting in the mayoral election.
And other than Ward 2, if I'm looking at my list, I think this is correct. Now that Robbie Gutierrez has dropped out, I do not think we have any other contested Republican primaries.
Right.
We've got some contested Democratic primary or a contested Democratic primary in Ward 4, with the incumbent Nettie Davis and challengers Greg Humphrey and Tommy Jake Ruff. And I think that's it. So, if there are probably are a lot of people that, especially if there's not a contested primary in their ward, are just going to go vote in the Democratic primary because that's the race for mayor. That, I tend to think, will help Jason Shelton.
Yeah, you mentioned Robbie Gutierrez dropping out of the Ward 3 race as a Republican. That's the seat currently held by Travis Beard, so he will not face a contested primary. But in the general election, he'll face James Hull, another person involved in the Shumpert protests and all
right.
that.
That's right. So, yeah, let's kind of just go through the list here. For mayor, of course, we got Jason Shelton will face Candace Knowles in the Democratic primary. And Ward 1, incumbent Markel Whittington is unopposed, so another term for him. And Ward 2, Lynn Bryan, like I said, is facing Republican challenger Philip Thomason. And Ward 3, incumbent Travis Beard, a Republican, will face Democrat James Hull in the general election.
Yep.
And, yes, he was one of the key figures behind the protests demanding police reform and dissatisfied with the official handling of the Ronnie Shumpert shooting. In Ward 4, now this one kind of has a crowded primary, incumbent Nettie Davis, as I said, facing challenges from Greg Humphrey, Tommy Ruff in the primary, and then there's a Republican candidate, Henry Daniels, who will face whoever wins the Democratic primary.
Right.
Now, that Ward 4 primary on the Democratic side is the only race that could potentially go to a runoff. So here's how it works. In the primary, if one candidate doesn't get 50% plus one of the vote, it goes to a runoff. So if you've got, you know, one candidate gets 45% of the vote, you know, and another, whoever the next highest vote getter is, those two go to a runoff. So in all our other contested primaries, we've got two candidates. So one of them has to get a majority. I mean, unless theoretically you have tons of write-in candidates, but I'm not expecting that. So, again, that Ward 4 race theoretically could go to a runoff.
Hey, Caleb, sorry to interrupt. One other question on the runoff. Yeah. Tell me if this is right. You can only vote in the runoff if you didn't vote in the other party's primary, right?
That's right. So, honestly, there's not going to be a lot of opportunity for that to happen. You know, for example, if you lived in Ward 4, there really isn't a Republican primary. I mean, there won't be a Republican primary for Ward 4, and there won't be a Republican one that you can participate in. But yeah, theoretically, if the Democratic race in a given contest went to a runoff, you would only be able to vote in the runoff if you had either voted in the primary or not voted. If you had voted in a Republican primary, you would be ineligible to participate in the runoff. And then so that leaves us, we've got two more contested races. Ward 5, incumbent Buddy Palmer, a Republican, faces a Democratic challenge from Hannah Mahari. And then in Ward 6, incumbent Mike Bryan faces a challenge from Democratic challenge from Casey Grist. In Ward 7, incumbent Willie Jennings is unopposed.
I know the general election is June 6th. When are the primaries again?
May 2nd is the primary. If a runoff is needed, May 16th. And then, like you said, June 6th is the general.
Gotcha. William, I want to ask you about some of the Lee County races. Any that stick out to you in particular?
Yeah, there are several contested races. Up in Baldwin, Police Chief Troy Agnew's been there for probably 20 years or more.
Yeah.
He's got four challengers. So there's a total of five people. They're all running as Democrats. So chances are there'll be a runoff in that election, and you know, they'll have to go back to our May 16th runoff for that one. Same way on the other end of the county in Nettleton, the Police Chief Hurd has decided not to run again. So there's four folks have stepped up to run for office there. Again, all is Democrats, so there will probably be a runoff there. Switching over to Plantersville, where they all run as independents, so they just don't have primaries. They'll go straight to the general election on June 6th. Incumbent Mayor Gloria Holland is going to be facing off with current Alderman Shelton Shannon for mayor.
Right.
So, I mean, that could be a race to watch.
I'm curious about that because I don't know enough about local politics to understand. A lot of these towns you'll see, like Verona, they all run as independent. You mentioned in Plantersville, all as independents. Nettleton, all Democrats.
It's a ploy that a lot of smaller towns use. They either all run as independents or they all run in one party so that they don't have to have two sets of primaries and a general election.
Okay.
I mean, it's a way to save money. If you go into even smaller towns outside of, Lee County, there are a lot of villages that, only have 100 to 150 people. And they'll have situations where they'll only have one person running for mayor, and they'll have five people running for alderman. And because of that, I mean, those are the only people that can be elected. They can just have those names certified with the Secretary of State, and they don't even have to have an election.
Right.
Well, and it saves them money.
And the smaller you get in government, I think the less party affiliation really matters.
It is. And normally you'll sit there, and especially on these situations where everybody runs as Democrats, you'll have people who their political ideology, they might be very conservative, but they'll run as Democrats just to save the town money.
Sure.
Yes. It's a situation, in other words, that's run into a problem this year is in Shannon. Because Shannon, has typically or traditionally all been all Democrats. This year they have two Republicans show up. Yeah. So, in the mayoral race they have three Democrats running, so there's a good chance they'll have the regular primary and a runoff.
Yeah.
You have one Republican candidate, so there's going to have to be a Republican primary. So Shannon's looking at the chance of having four elections where they normally would only have one, and each election costs around $3,000-$4,000 for the town of Shannon. So, the taxpayers are going to be out another probably $9,000 that they normally wouldn't, because of added candidates this year.
Wow. And you do still have a strain of, in the South especially, of conservative Democrats who truly are Democrats. What do they call it? Blue Dog Democrats? Is that right? Yeah, that's the term, I think. So, I don't know if that sum up has some to do with what
That's a lot of them, because traditionally, you go back all the way to the 1950s where you know, there was only the Democratic Party in Mississippi.
Yeah.
You know, and throughout the entire South. And then when they tried to separate in the late 40s, early 50s, the Dixiecrats, which was even an ultra-conservative branch of the Democratic Party, you know, just over the years, the ideology has switched and the folks in the South have stayed conservative, but the Democratic Party has moved more to the left. And so folks down here are becoming more and more Republican. And so that's why you're seeing a lot of more smaller towns start having Republican primaries as well. I mean, Tupelo was the first one around here to have, you know, legitimate Republican candidates. South Tilla right now, they had for years sort of switched over, had both Democrat and Republican. This year, they only have Republican candidates.
Yeah.
You know, and now we have Shannon moving in and starting to have Republicans. So it's a trend that you'll probably see, you know, 4 years from now, there'll probably be even more Republican, or more folks wanting to come out and say, you know, my ideology is more conservative, so I don't want to run as a Democrat.
Yeah.
I do want to run as a Republican.
Yeah. Okay. And I know you've also, looking outside of Lee County, you've been checking around to see what other, just to get a list of candidates, I know, of other races, because we have, like, was it 15, 16 counties?
We have 16 counties.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've been able to glean much from what might be any races of interest around the region.
I mean, I'm still collecting stuff on those. And from what I found on most of those, they have just switched from going with the all-Democratic, and most of them just now run, especially the smaller towns, have just switched and going to all-Democrats.
Huh, okay.
Or, no, that's wrong. They switched from going being Democrats and just going to all-Independents. It's, right. It's easier. You don't have the party affiliation.
Yeah. Okay.
One election and you're done.
All right. Well, good info. We'll keep covering this election news as we draw nearer to the primaries. We'll see if anybody else drops out. But William, Caleb, appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks.
Glad to be here.
Be sure to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself, Blake Morgan, and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. So look for today's episode. It's just going to be Blake and myself. He and Gene are both down in Jackson, of course, covering the state basketball tournament. Gene was busy covering a game when we taped the podcast, so just Blake and I catching y'all up to speed on everything going on down in Jackson. Also, Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MEC reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
You can also wake up and get started with Brad Locke each morning on Newsbreak. It's just a quick summary of news, weather, sports, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Did I mention it's with Brad Locke?
And with Derek Russell on Mondays.
We don't talk about that. Shows are posted each Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch for free at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Emma Kent joining us on this Wednesday. Happy International Women's Day, Emma.
Thank you.
We're glad you could take a few moments of
Brad.
This day. For, what?
I mean.
She called you Brad. I'll be conducting this interview now.
I legit just called you Brad. That wasn't even a joke.
Should have played it off.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Derek.
So, Emma, let's talk about this story.
Derek.
Derek is inconsolable.
Derek, right, come back to your mic. It's okay. I'm so sorry.
Turned his mic off.
Well,
here we are. Just me and Emma now.
Rip, Derek.
Tell us about your trip to Jackson, Emma. Down your sorrows and fake pastries.
Talk to Brad, so bad. Talk to Brad.
Obviously, she wanted me to do the interview, I guess.
Oh, you go right ahead.
No. It was a mistake. It was an honest mistake.
So you went to Jackson.
I did.
Talked about we've done this story before, the Milam Leadership Academy, Milam Girls Leadership Academy.
Ladies.
How appropriate. We're talking about this on International Women's Day.
Very appropriate.
Segue. Use that in your book, Chris. That could be in chapter one right
what
there.
Book?
I'm writing a book about all the segues I've learned from these guys.
We looked it up. There's no books about how to segue properly in broadcast, so Chris is going to write one.
They're just so brilliant. And
yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, you guys are the greatest segue segueers.
Is that a word?
It is now.
Okay.
It's in the book.
Oh, okay. Expert segueers Brad Locke and Derek Russell say.
You mean Brad Russell?
Derek's never going to forgive you for that.
I'm so sorry. That. I'm just going to leave now.
Nah, it's fine. I'll talk to you. So you had a story on these girls a week or two ago, and then they went to Jackson as kind of as a culmination of their of this first. I guess this because it was the first year they've done it, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Kind of a this interview,
kind of a culmination of, hey, I wasn't prepared for this. It's supposed to be you.
Knocking it out.
So they went to Jackson. They got to meet with lawmakers, right?
Yes, they did.
So first, kind of fill people in on what's kind of the goal of this group.
So it's a group of 32 sixth grade girls from Milam, and they were nominated by their teachers. And it's just what it sounds like, a leadership program for them. They meet, I think, twice a month and at school, and they just have like guest speakers come in, or they just learn about how to be leaders, and then also kind of specifically, you know, what are some challenges that women face as they try to, as women try to be leaders, and just, you know, I mean, just kind of how to be good role models, how to kind of get involved in the community and get involved at school. And
yeah, and these are, of course, sixth graders. Milam's a sixth grade school, so it's kind of a important time in their development, as, you know, kind of getting towards adulthood, getting into being teenagers and figuring out who you are. And so it seems like, I think they mentioned that in one of your stories, that this is really a key time to help those girls develop that confidence, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, like you said, that's kind of when you start to figure out maybe what you want to do and who you are, and kind of just prepares you for the road ahead. So yeah. So anyway, they have been meeting. It's an 8-week program. And then their big field trip to kind of cap it all off was to Jackson, to the Capitol. And they got to tour the Capitol. They got to go on the House floor. We went into the Senate. We didn't get to go on the floor there, though. And then just met with some local lawmakers. And then we had lunch with Treasurer Lynn Fitch.
Yeah.
And you just spoke to them about, you know, being a woman in a leadership role. And
Lynn Fitch is a rarity, only one of four women to have ever served in statewide elected office in the state, right? That's I'm reading from your story.
Yeah. So they really liked her. They really enjoyed hearing from her. And I think they were impressed and just, think they were inspired by that.
Yeah, one girl said she wasn't inspired and said it refreshed my mind, is what the girl said. I have plans to follow in her footsteps. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think you had some really good quotes in
your did.
Story. I think you need to get into a couple of those.
Brad, why don't you read some of those?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, interviewing kids that age can be tricky. A lot of them are just like, yeah, fine, you know.
Sometimes they don't give you much.
Right. But, and then there's one that says, we're just as smart and strong as men are. And there's this other girl that says, I would ask everyone what they want and try to give them what they want if she were to serve in public office someday. So
you didn't get to my favorite one yet, though.
Which one is it? Hold on. Let me see.
Men aren't the only ones.
I just read one. Men can't be the only people who run the world. That was a girl named Gan Lim.
It's Pauline Gan Lim.
Pauline, yeah, that's her last name. Is Gan Lim.
Oh, okay. Pauline Gan Lim.
Yeah.
Sorry. Pauline Gan Lim. These girls really seem to, they take this seriously.
I think by the end of the day, they were really, really into it and really kind of, inspired and empowered by what, you know, because a lot of them had never been to Jackson before. And, you know, they've never been to the Capitol. They've never seen, you know, what goes on at those high levels of leadership in our state. And so I think that was really exciting for them. They were so excited all day. Like, this is so cool. They loved the building. They loved just seeing all of the people at the Capitol. And, you know, it was really funny. We were in the House chamber and we were just sitting there and they were like all talking to each other. And one of them was like, asked our tour guide, she was like, so do you have to go to Harvard to go to be here, like to work here? And she was like, no, you don't have to go to Harvard. And she was like, oh, and she was like, you can go to whatever, you know, she was like, so I could go to Ole Miss and I could do this. And she was like, yeah, definitely. It was just kind of, you know, they just learned a lot, you know, things that they weren't aware of or,
I mean, yeah, that's pretty cool. You don't have to go to Harvard.
Yeah, it was.
And believe it or not, guys, you don't have to go to the University of Missouri to be a journalist. Might not know that hearing Columbia graduates tell it. Little jab at the pretentious Columbia graduates. Where was I? So this group has met, like you said, for 8 weeks. Derek is giving me some kind of side eye. I don't know. He didn't graduate from Missouri.
He's throwing a lot of shade at you.
He is throwing a lot. I didn't do anything. You're the one that called him Brad. Should be throwing you the dirty looks.
I don't know why I'm not
looks.
Being thrown
Oh, now
shade.
He's staring at you. So this is the first year. They're going to keep this going, though, right?
Yeah. They're going to do it again next year. It's funded by an AEE grant.
Yeah.
And so, you know, granted that they can, and that helps fund, they have like a lunch, you know, and bringing in speakers and then also this trip.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm assuming... I mean, their plans are to continue it, and I'm assuming that they'll be able to get that grant again and be able to fund it again. And then they've also talked about starting one for boys as well.
Yes.
And even while we were at the Capitol, we talked to Steve Holland, and he said, you know, if y'all get a group of boys together, bring them down here. I'd love to talk, you know, I'd love for us to talk to him or whatever. And so, you know, I think that... I think it's something that will grow and hopefully
so.
Because it seems like the girls have learned a lot and they, like I said, they had a blast. They were a lot of fun.
That's really cool. Well, y'all can find that latest story in March the 5th. What day was that? Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday's journal. So, and also at djournal.com. Emma, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
Derek forgives you.
So sorry, Brad.
You can watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday at djournal.com, where Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. or catch the replay later in the day.
Am I doing this one too?
Yeah, you talked to Alan.
Alan.
Tim.
AKA Dennis Sid, biz reporter for the Daily Journal. You've been blowing up our Facebook page this week, by the way.
I've been trying.
Event Zona had that news yesterday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What else was it you had?
How about where's my Zaxby's?
The Aldi.
Aldi, yeah, that was a big deal. That's coming. I'm glad to see that come to Tupelo. I didn't know all the background of it. It's started in Germany and what Aldi stands for, which I can't pronounce, even though it took 4 semesters of German.
Isn't it a car?
No, that's Audi.
That's Audi.
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 Kind of the same
thing. Aldi. Aldi, however
Maybe
you say
it's
it.
Audi. I don't know.
I'm just saying a Denny should have gone there.
Well, you know, I could go for that.
Or the return of Golden Corral.
No.
Remember there's an Aldi, whatever, when I lived in North Carolina. We didn't go there a lot, but when we did, this may sound weird, they have the best saltine crackers I've ever tasted. And they're like cheap. Everything's cheap there.
You're so white.
Well, no, how white I am? I love mayo on saltines. Delicious. And blame my dad for that one, okay? Where were we? We're supposed to bring you on here to talk about beer, actually. Craft beer.
Craft beer, yes.
Of which I'm very fond, as are many people. And you had a column on Sunday dealing with some legislation that passed the Senate last week. Basically, it'll allow, and this is a growing industry in Mississippi, but it'll allow the breweries located here to sell on site.
Exactly. And an update to that is that the concurrent bill that went back to the House for a vote passed yesterday.
Yeah, I believe so.
And now it goes to the governor's desk, and I got this morning got an email from a spokesman, and I tweeted out, well, kind of paraphrased it since it was long, but essentially Governor Bryant will sign this craft beer. The likelihood increases for Governor Bryant to sign the craft beer bill if it, quotes, safely and responsibly promotes economic development.
It's a team sport, Dennis.
Exactly. So there's no time frame. We don't know when he'll sign it. I guess we can assume.
Yes, sign everything by June something, isn't it? I can't try to remember what the date is. Or is it just before the fiscal year starts? I don't remember.
Where's Bobby Harrison when you need him?
Really?
if and when he signs it, it will go into effect July 1st. So
Okay. Yeah.
But
yeah.
But talking to the attorney who represents the craft beer folks, he feels pretty confident that the governor will sign it and it'll become law. So
well, good. And because again, like I said, it's a growing industry. I mean, you've got Lazy Magnolia down in Kiln. But you've had some other ones that pop up in over the recent years in Water Valley.
You got Yalabusha. We've got 1817 Brewery down in Okolona,
yes.
And will soon be making its way to the All America City. Mm. And there's another one that's brewing. Pardon the pun. Mm. Birthplace Brewing, which will be here in Tupelo, and a lot of these, there are a few in the works. I think they're trying to determine. A lot will ride on this bill,
sure,
because you know there's you can make beer, but you have to sell it to make money. So have the ability to sell it on site is a big thing.
Right, because right now it's like a three-tiered process: the brewer, the distributor, and then the place that where you're selling at the store or whatever. And this, I know some distributors maybe are worried about this. Is it really
they were. That's why they weren't on board last year. And
right.
Obviously, the distributors will still have to distribute, but now because you're still limited to selling only 2 cases per person per day at the brewery.
Right. Okay. Okay.
It's not like you can say, "Hey, let me."
Yeah, there are limits, obviously, yeah. And they will have to.
Go ahead, as you said, still most people are going to buy it in a store, right?
Right. Yeah. So a restaurant, still, right?
Yeah. Right.
But for the experience, I mean, you know, if you go to a craft beer place and you go through the tour and you want a sample, you know, it's what's better than to leave with a case.
I mean, like you know, I've been to Kentucky a few times and I've gone to a couple of those distilleries up there. Woodford Reserve was one of them, and you know, they at the end of the tour get to have a little tasting. I mean, like it just adds to the experience to go on the whole tour and not get to taste anything. Almost kind of seems pointless in a way. In my opinion, or at least get to buy something and take home with you.
Exactly.
So
something more than a hat or a T-shirt.
Exactly. The speaking of economic development, the breweries. It's a hard word to say.
Breweries.
Rural.
Rural breweries. God, that's brutal.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
We're from the South.
Derek chips in.
Brad too.
Well,
I hate you.
They're gonna have to. Pay a state excise tax and a sales tax for a beer sold on site. So it's a win-win, I guess. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Well, the law is, you know, it's for breweries that make no more than 60,000 cases a year, which, you
know, 60,000 barrels.
Barrels.
Right.
And last year, all 9 or 10 combined didn't make, but, you know, maybe 30,000 barrels. So we've got there's a lot of capacity for the breweries to be able to do what they'll be able to do, hopefully soon.
Cool.
You mentioned earlier one that's going to open in Tupelo, Birthplace Brew.
What's about that?
I don't know that I've heard much about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they have a Facebook page.
We've had stories on it.
We don't read the paper.
reaching out to them, they're waiting on a few things, some details to work out before they, you know, make it official.
Have they announced a location yet?
No. That's one of the things we're trying to find out.
Cool. Well, good stuff, Dennis. Again, you can find his column in Sunday's Journal at djournal.com. Appreciate your time, Dennis.
And news about Target not coming.
Nope, sorry, still no Target news.
Wrap up, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Wrap up, bye-bye.
Okay, so that's it for this show, I guess.
Wrap up, bye-bye.
Oh, man, my back hurts.
Having I'm carrying to carry the whole thing.
The whole thing. Sitting over there pouting with your mic off.
Same, I didn't pout. I proved a point.
Well, to who?
Good for you.
To yourself?
The listener. The show's not as good when Brad has to do the whole thing. Hurts, don't it?
We'll see what the ratings say.
Yeah, exactly. We'll go to the numbers.
Podcasts don't have ratings. They do have numbers.
We'll go to the Armatron ratings next month.
I'm going to call Nielsen.
Nielsen doesn't do podcasts.
They do now.
Nielsen doesn't even do DVR ratings.
Nielsen.
You got to be a Nielsen family. We were a Nielsen family in the early 90s.
It seemed like I remember us doing that once when I was in high school.
Yeah, a couple times filling out the week long.
We had the journal, but we had the box too. We were, fancy. They were like,
fancy.
That fat kid watches a lot of TV. Let's put a box in his home. Okay.
So give us a true representation.
Gonna be a lot of He-Man and G.I. Joe. I'm telling you right now. That's what you're getting.
Hey, that Brad kid loves his TV.
Hey, man, Transformers. And
that's why I ate so much, Chris, because they called me Brad.
Ah, boy. Good show.
That's what the W stands for, by the way. Sorry. That's what the W stands for.
What?
Brad.
What?
Yeah, think about it.
That's
all right.
Because Brad is synonymous with winner? Is that what you mean?
Hey.
That was even more of a reach.
To each his own interpretation.
I don't know if, like, that sort of thing is up for interpretation.
W actually stands for whiner when I get called the wrong name.
You said it.
He actually said winner. It's just his accent.
I don't have an accent.
It really does stand for, wow, that kid's fat. Let's put a Nielsen box in his house.
Derek Russell.
Yeah. It's German, I believe.
W. Derek Russell for short. Hey, y'all can find us a lot of different ways.
Swedish.
If still, what? What's Swedish?
That name.
I don't know.
You get a really long name?
Oh, yeah, I gotcha.
I think it's Swedish.
Farfik Nugent.
Yeah.
I think it's no way, that's German, too. Hey, where was I? Oh, you can find us on in iTunes, any of your podcast apps.
Or on iTunes, either way.
I already said that.
You said in.
Whatever. And on, also at memo.djournal.com. We're on Twitter at djournalmemo. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. He's at W. Derek Russell. He's at Chris Kiefer. Got all that? No? Well, guess what? It's a podcast. Scrub it backwards a few seconds and keep listening until you get it all. Write it down.
Or come back on Friday and we'll say it all over again.
We sure will. Friday.
I'll change my Twitter account to at Brad Locke 2.
It's probably already taken. There's only one at Brad Locke, obviously.
I know your password.
No, you don't.
Yeah, there.
You do not even know my difference. If you did, you'd have hacked it by
there
now.
There's a Brad Locke.
There's a Brad Locke, too. He has one tweet. No, I'm sorry. He does have more tweets. You know, he's got a bunch of retweets, mainly. He's an egg, though, so.
That's actually.
He's only got 10 followers.
It's actually a self-picture. I just kind of look eggish.
He's only got 10 followers. Yeah, sad. He's got 9 tweets. Excuse me. Okay, we're done. What, Chris? You going to say something?
See you Friday.
Okay, see y'all Friday. Have fun. Till then.